station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to LA Talk Radio Channel 1. To call in, dial 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815.
You're listening to Dave's Good Vibration Station with Dave Cohen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Everything to raise your vibration. I'm your host, David Cohen. We got co-host Josh.
Hey, what's up, Los Angeles?
Yeah, what's going on, guys? We are broadcasting from the beautiful, the one and only Sherman Oaks, California.
It's beautiful out here.
We actually, to be honest, we are just supposed to tell you that we're broadcasting from the one and only Sherman Oaks, California, when in actuality, little to your knowledge, the vibration station does and always has broadcasted from space. We are currently in a spaceship hovering over planet Zaltazar. And it's a beautiful planet. There's really really a lot going on over here. But yeah, we actually broadcast from a spaceship in space.
We do, yes.
We do.
Yes.
It's true. We always have. We always talk about it. Our beautiful spaceship. Our spaceship's name is the Ecuadorian.
The Ecuadorian. Yes.
Yep. That's our spaceship's name.
It's a beautiful name, David.
We've been up here for about 6 years and 32 days, 8 hours, 7 seconds, and counting. This is the show where, from space, we raise your vibration. We talk about literally anything and everything.
Yes, we do.
If you are just tuning in to the vibration station for the first time, we talk about anything and everything that can affect your life in a positive way, affect you in a positive way, and help you make certain decisions and choices for yourself to define for you what you want and don't want in your reality. So the whole point is for you to listen and take what you can from what we say. You guys might think we're crazy. You guys might be like, wow.
We're not crazy.
Dave and Josh are just on one. And they should go back to their spaceship. But little to your knowledge, we're already on our spaceship.
We're already on our spaceship.
So you can't send us back there. But what you can do is email us a dirty email at davesvibrationstation@gmail.com. You can tell us how much you hate us. Tell us how we ruined your life. Tell us how every single time before you go to sleep, you think about, you know, stuffing us in a closet.
Wow.
Whatever you want. Ooh. Or you can email us and say, you know, you guys, you're all right.
You're all right.
You're cool, I guess. But you can be the judge of that. Today we have a very, very interesting show for you.
That we do.
And this show today is specifically, of course, going to be about taking care of yourself, which is a huge theme on the Vibration Station, always taking care of your consciousness, your body, your mind, and your spirit, right?
You are totally on the dot, David.
That's what we're all about. So yes. Check this out. Today, on this Sunday, your body is your temple. Treat it accordingly. Your body is your temple. That is what we're going to be talking about today. And, of course, we're going to be, talking about other aspects of how your body is your temple and things that you can do to further yourself into a healthier body, a healthier mind, and a healthier soul. So check this out. When you begin to treat your body with the same reverence you might treat a temple, really great things will begin to happen for you. You will become more aware of what you eat and drink. You will notice how to breathe properly. And perhaps most importantly, you will develop the capacity for self-correction. How does this work, you might ask? Well, imagine the feeling of just being a little bit thirsty. Most people these days don't know what it feels like to be just a little bit thirsty. Sure, you know what it feels like to be very thirsty, right? But the whole point of it is that you've missed the early signs that we need to stop for a moment and drink some water. Well, what does this mean? That is just an example when I say that we don't notice when we're just a little bit thirsty. We notice when we're really thirsty, right? Well, what is that a product of? That's a product of a scattered mind, right?
Yeah.
It is. Yeah. Because think about this. If your body is asking you to feed it something or to give it something, nutrients, water, whatever that may be, the second that your body demands that, it sends a neural charge. It sends a thought from your brain back to your brain all throughout your body. And it's your body is all of a sudden like, wait a minute, I'm kind of thirsty. Right?
Yeah.
But then your brain, whatever you're doing, you're so constantly engulfed in something. You're so scattered, always being stimulated every 2 seconds by something. You don't realize that you're thirsty until your body actually kicks in and overtakes whatever you're being scattered by, because your body's like, wait a minute, stop. You need to think about me. You need to think about your temple, your body, and you need to give me water. Right? Well, that is just an example of being more aware, being more conscious of your body, right? Now, when we talk about, your body is your temple, treat it accordingly and all this stuff, it's very interesting because there's infinite numbers of facets when it comes to the human body. We have, we have the mind, we have the heart space, and of course, we have our body. We have our physicality, right? When dealing with the body, right? Do you guys following?
Josh? I'm just staring at David. I'm so fascinated by this subject.
I'm so fascinated by you, Josh.
Oh, you are
just
too kind.
You're just a great individual.
Oh.
And let me tell you guys, Josh treats his body like a temple.
I do.
I guess so. Well, check this out, guys. When we're dealing with the body and we have the heart space, we have the mind and we have the physicality, right?
Yeah.
What I'm saying by that is the moment that you start to become more conscious of your body and the moment you start to become more aware of what your body needs, what it wants, what you want your body to need and what you want your body to want, then it actually starts to rearrange your brain. It starts to rearrange your anatomy. You get into a different set, a different path, a different neuro net once you start to become more aware. And only from that moment can you start accelerating. And can you start to become a more healthier person and become more aware of your body? Now, let's talk a little personal, okay?
Oh, I love this.
We're gonna get personal. We're 20. Josh and I are 20 years old.
Almost 20.
Well, Josh was 20.
In September.
Woo! Coming up. And Josh and myself, along with, millions of other kids, have been through high school. Right.
Oh, yes.
And when we talk about treating your body like your temple at this age, right, at, even as young as 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, blah, 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 all the way up to, till the day you die. It's all about recognizing when you keep the headset that your body is a temple, right? Well, if you are 20 years old and you've been through high school, chances are you've had a drink, right? Chances are you've experimented with certain things.
Sad to say that I have, yes.
So we're going to... Oh, there's nothing to be sad about. Nothing to be sad.
You know what? You're right.
It's all an experience.
You're absolutely right. Yeah.
It's all an experience.
You learn so much.
You totally do. You define more of who you are and what you... want to pursue, the person you want to be when you have certain experiences. Now, I'm just throwing this out here. The Vibration Station in no way, shape, or form condones any mind-altering substances or experimentation. What we're saying is it happens, right? And when it does happen, it is a learning experience. And you must be cautious, you must be safe, and you must know what you're doing when you choose to take on that responsibility of intoxicating yourself. So, along with that, it's so difficult. I'm just gonna speak for myself. That's all I can say, right?
Yeah.
Well, at the point in my life that I am right now, I find it to be a bit difficult waking up every single morning and thinking to myself, my body is my temple, right? You know, don't smoke a cigarette today, you know, or you know, don't have a beer. You know what I mean? Like it's that simple. It's so fascinating because I was talking with someone not too long ago about this. There really is, there's two people in you. You know what I mean?
A constant struggle.
Right?
A constant struggle.
Yeah, yeah. Totally.
Between the do's and don'ts.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it's very fascinating. It's almost like the little devil and the angel on your shoulder, right?
Oh.
It really is. But there literally is two people talking to you inside your head. It's your voice. But there's two people talking, right? For example, there's this really great aspect of yourself where you know your body is your temple. You know that you need to treat it with respect and appreciation. And, you know, don't smoke, David. You know, don't drink, David. You know? And it's there's obviously that aspect. Any time, you know, I you know, go to pull out a cigarette or any time I do anything that I know is not healthy for my body, I'm thinking to myself in the back of my mind, I'm knowing that this is not good for me, right?
So are you hesitating when you pick up a cigarette or a beer, or you just go right for it?
Depends. Depends on the mood.
Depends on the mood.
You know what I mean? If I'm in like an aware state of kind of like not being like I'm like not aware, I'm like, oh, dude, I'm fucked up. I'm not – no, not like that. But like if I'm like in a conscious state of, you know, David, I really need to – yeah, I call it my Zen mode. You know what I mean? When I'm in like Zen mode,
yeah.
You know, and I'm like, Dave, come on, man. Like don't – you know, just don't do that today, you know? And then I'll be like, all right, cool. You know, I'm on top of it. You know, that's good. And then I feel really great about myself. You know what I mean?
Like you've accomplished something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You've overcome something.
You've hiked a really big hill.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, but I mean, depending on the situation, right? The steepness of the hill will vary. Yes, but I was gonna, you know, it's very difficult. When you're this age and when you're in the setting, when everyone's drinking beer, you know, everyone is, you know, smoking or doing whatever. And then it's hard to get in that headset to be in that mind state and be like, you know, like my body is my temple.
You know, it kind of relates to our topic that we had about 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
How we relieve ourselves from stress, you know.
Absolutely.
Peer pressure. We're talking about peer pressure right now.
Absolutely. An aspect. Yes,
yeah.
Totally.
An aspect. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So when you say your mind is your temple, you're actually talking sort of about that topic that we had 2 weeks ago.
You are.
Yeah.
You absolutely
it's
are.
It's actually, it all links together.
It does. It totally does, man. Absolutely it links together. And that's what's so fascinating about it all, is that it's all connected, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I totally agree with you, man. But can you imagine, all right, everybody's been to a party, right? Everyone's been there when kids are drinking, or even adults, man. My I've seen my parents go to parties, and, you know, they'll have a few martinis, and they'll be, you know, feeling good. You know, but, like, you know, everything in moderation, of course, everything in moderation. But then it comes right back to the whole idea that, you know, your body really is your temple. Right.
And you must treat it with respect.
You must treat it with respect. Now, one aspect that I do want to touch on your body being your temple, the first place to start with your body being your temple, and there's no I literally am coming up with this on the spot. I thought about this prior to the show, but this is my original thought, and I'm proud of it. So here we go. This is Dave's guide to holding your body as your temple. Step one, right? Recognize that your body is your temple. Okay. Recognize. Don't view your body as like. Don't view yourself as just like
an amusement park.
An amusement park, right? But view it as like a temple.
A holy place.
A holy place. But that's like totally infinite and has like the most awesome like fun rides in the world,
exactly.
Right? But they're all safe and they're all happy and they're all super healthy for you, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's step one. Step two is really, really, really hitting your heart space. I have to say, and I could be wrong. I could be wrong. If you want to say, David, you're wrong, you're stupid, you're dumb, call me. 323-203-0815. Once again, that's 323-203-0815. Or you can email me on the Vibration Station, davesvibrationstation@gmail.com. Once again, that's davesvibrationstation@gmail.com. If you're just tuning in with us right now, we are talking about the first steps to recognizing that your body is your temple and how to take charge of that. Well, I would say step one, first of all, recognize your body is your temple. Step two, start with your heart space, right? And when I say heart space, I'm saying really get in touch with yourself, right? You guys are like, wow, David's gay. No, it's true. Check this out.
I don't think that.
Thanks, bro. Thanks,
yeah,
man.
Sure.
You really do have your heart thinks. Your heart thinks. Think about your heart thinking. Think, your heart thinks. Really, it does though. When you close your eyes and you feel like, when you feel an emotion, let's say you are in love, you know, you feel that love and you feel it like almost spinning in your heart. Or let's say you feel anger, you feel hatred, you feel that it's in your chest and it's dense and blah. Literally, that's like your heart thinking, man. And each and every single time that your heart beats, bum 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 bum, that is a real electromagnetic charge that is pulsing from your heart throughout your body to your brain and back, right? It's all happening in a split second, but every single beat of your heart is charged by an energy, by an electricity.
Now, I have no idea where this energy comes from. That's the mysterious part.
That's what we're saying. That's the spirit molecule, man. We actually got a caller on the air. We're going to touch real quick. You are live on the air. Dave's a Good Vibration Station. Who are we speaking to today?
Hi, Dave and Josh. It's Dr. Michelle.
Hey, Doc.
Doc Michelle.
Hi, guys. I love your subject today. It's terrific.
Well, thanks, Doc. I love the fact that you called in. What a pleasant surprise. And you always spice up the show. We love it when you call. And also, everybody listening out there, check Dr. Michelle out on latalkradio.com. You obviously know how to get there if you're listening to the show. Channel 1 every Friday at 11. Check her out. Once again,
that's right.
Channel 1, Dr. Michelle on the couch every Friday at 11 a.m. What's going on, Doc? Talk to us.
No, I was just really going to tell you that I appreciate the good information that you're giving to your listeners. I know you have a lot of younger listeners,
yes.
You know, young adults, and it's awesome, you know, that you talk about trying to, you know, make your body your temple, and how people can utilize their minds to make their, you know, life better. But I have a question for both of you guys.
All right. We may have an
How
answer.
Do you tell a friend of yours, who you see or hang out with, or younger friends,
okay,
who haven't realized that their body is their temple, and who continue to beat themselves up with different types of drugs.
Okay.
And you see them going through problems, and you see that they're, you know, whatever, I don't know what kind of drugs that, you know,
so,
people in your group would be using. But, I mean, let's just say somebody's into cocaine, or somebody keeps drinking to the point where they're just unconscious, and you want to help them. How do you try to help your friends realize these things. I mean, isn't it difficult? Because, Josh, you talked about peer pressure.
Yeah.
Right.
And you don't want to be the person that's the heavy, you know.
Well, sometimes, unfortunately, kids, you know, teenagers, they don't learn unless something bad happens to them. Unfortunately, that's our generation. Maybe
right.
earlier, maybe in like the 60s, 70s, it was completely different back then. You know, people actually probably made smarter decisions. You know, there's still a lot of smart people out there right now that are making smart decisions. But the thing is that in order to open someone's eyes, I can't see a better way than to show an example of what can happen to them.
Totally.
If they continue on this path that they've chosen.
Totally.
Wow.
You know, I think experience, examples are the best way to show somebody where they're going.
I absolutely agree. And Doc, just to add on to that, Josh, that's totally right, man. I couldn't agree more. Took the words right out of my mouth. I was also going to say, Doc, for lack of a better phrase, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink it. Right. And what I mean by that is, you know, if there's kids, that are constantly being self-destructive and that don't recognize and don't understand that their body really is their temple. So you can go up to anybody, right? Let's say it's a kid our age, let's say a 20-year-old kid, you know, and he's a friend, and let's say he does cocaine every weekend, you know, or something, you know. What, you know, the way that, first of all, you can approach that, I would say, is obviously kick off with the very simple idea of just like, hey man, check this out. First of all, you look like shit, you know. Second of all, and when I say that, I don't mean that like an offensive way, right? I feel like also like the shock factor, which is kind of like the same thing with Josh, you know, how he's like, okay, you know, let's throw him in the car, take him down to Skid Row. You know what I mean? And like show them the kind of life that those people lead. It's the same idea. It's the shock factor. And the moment that somebody hears from somebody that they care about, you know, that they don't look good, or like that they are looking bad, or something looks wrong with them, or they look sick, right? Usually I would say, from my past experiences, because, you know, I've been in the situation, that is the first chord that gets struck, is for them to think like, oh, well, shit, you know, if somebody who's always really nice to me, always got my back and always telling me the truth, if somebody, that person comes to me and tells me that I look really bad and that I need help, maybe I should start to think. Now, if that doesn't work, obviously, these people are just in denial. Right. There's just a sense of denial. There's a sense there's a lack of understanding for what they're doing to their body. Right.
Right. Right.
After that, what I would say is, you know, Doc, there's only so many ways that you can really show. There's only so many ways that you can try to change a person's mind. Right. And nobody can change anybody else's mind but that person themselves. People can show them, people can lead them the way, people can, you know, show them examples, people can show them anything they want to try to persuade this person into believing or into viewing something a certain way, but ultimately it is that person right, that is going to make the decision for themselves whether they want to help themselves get off it or whether, you know, they continue to just go down this path.
Now, maybe it has something to do with the way kids are raised nowadays, because maybe some people don't have the do not do part in their brain.
Right.
Maybe some people just have that.
Absolutely.
Just go for it and do it. And that's the problem.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
Sometimes kids are raised wrong, and unfortunately they start thinking that way.
Right.
They start thinking like their parents.
That's totally true. That's totally true.
The parents say, you know, just do it. I don't care. Do it.
Right.
And that's the problem.
Absolutely. And on the opposing hand of that, along with parents being too lenient, you know what I mean? With parents being like, oh, just fuck it, like, I don't care, you know, like, that's totally, you know, that's a gateway to, you know, bad news. But along with, I would say, on the opposing side of that, with parents that are too strict, parents that are too overboard and too, like, no, you can't go out to that party,
exactly.
No, you can't drink, no, you, you know, those are also, I think that has just as a detrimental effect
it
to
does.
The kid's perception.
See, too lenient makes the kid open, you know, try new things.
Right.
Too strict makes them closed, live in a box, right, scared of everything.
Exactly. Exactly.
So you want to be right in the middle.
Right.
Equilibrium.
You want to find a happy medium.
Equilibrium.
Yeah.
So totally. You would suggest that for parents.
Absolutely, I would suggest that for parents.
You
yeah,
know, I think that sometimes, you know, if a kid goes up to his parents and says, "Mom, would you be okay, you know, if I smoked marijuana one time?"
Right.
I think the parents should say, "You know what? Give it a try once."
Sure.
Give it a try once.
Right.
But don't let it turn into anything serious.
Right.
You know, I believe that parents should let their kids try and experiment for themselves, so they know exactly how it feels like.
Right.
You know, I'm not saying, you know, go ask your parents if I can try heroin. No.
Right.
Try something that's, you know, legitimate. Something that, you know, a lot of people are doing out there. You know, give it a try for yourself. Mom can have a beer. Okay, if you're 17, you know, I would say, you know, you can have a sip. Just try. They're going to say yuck, and they're not going to touch it again. I think that when you're growing up, the perfect thing to do is experiment.
Yeah.
Experiment. But don't do anything too drastic. Don't do anything dangerous, you know. You just need to try new things at times. And that what makes you learn. That's
absolutely.
And
I feel like Doc, are we flooding you or what? Do you want to say something?
No, I'm fascinated with that's why I ask you these questions.
Oh, well, thanks, Doc. Well, thanks, Doc. Yeah. Well, what I was going to say just to add to that is when you know, I feel how do I say this without sounding bad? I feel like experimenting at a... Okay, let's go. My personal experience, right? I like to relate things back to myself because I feel like we all have experiences to share so other people can learn from them, right? Ever since I was young, I've always been the kind of person that... If somebody tells me, you know, if my father or my mother were to tell me, you know, David, don't do that, and I wanted to do it, I would be the kind of person that would be like, I'll try it, and, you know, like, I'll try it, you know. I've always been that person that, like, you know, if they're like, don't do that, you're going to fall off a cliff, and I used to be, I've toned it down, but I used to be the kind of kid that would be like, oh, I want to try to jump off the cliff and just see if there really is a cliff down there, and I'm just gonna, you know. And from my personal experiences, when I've done the things that I have and I've had the experiences that I've had at you know, a young age, what it's done for me, right? And everybody is different. Every single individual is different. But I'm just going to speak for myself. What it's done for me is allowed me at a young age to define for myself who I want to be. And it has allowed me at a young age to define for myself the kind of person I want to be. Right? The kind of life that I want to lead and the kind of experiences that I want to have and that I don't want to have, judging by my past experiences. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And when we say on here, you know, it's good to experiment at a young age and stuff, like Josh said, and like I was saying, we're not talking about, you know, just drugs. You know, we're not saying like, you know, oh, just smoke a little weed when you're 16. You know, that's not what we're saying. We're saying, like, every single person on the planet, especially when you're in a young age, when you're in high school, you know, you're surrounded by these things. You're going to have these urges to want to know what the hype is about. Everyone, I remember when I was, you know, like, you know, 15, 16 years old and, you know, kids started smoking weed and I was like so fascinated. Like, my parents obviously were like, David, don't do that, you know, but I wanted to know what the hype was about, you know, like, why is this so fun? Why is everybody, you know, so, you know. I tried it and I was like, well, you know, this is what the hype is about, you know? From that experience, I got to really gauge for myself, you know, like what my relationship with the drug would be, you know, and what my relationship with myself would be when this drug is presented to me, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, that was a mouthful, Doc.
No, that's interesting. I was wondering, what would you both say if you had friends who kept abusing themselves and they're you know, going through people's money and they're going through their parents' money and they're whatever, hooked on cocaine or weed, and they can't afford it and they're stoned all the time or they're, you know, flying high all the time. What would you say if you see those people, and I know you said earlier you look really bad to them, but you get to the point where you're tired of seeing them passed out.
Right.
You get to the point where you're tired of trying to rescue them.
Right, right.
You're tired of keeping the secrets from their, you know, friends or family, that they're always messed up or they're going to be the ones that you have to drive home or have to have crash on your couch because you're trying to protect them.
Right.
What do you say? How do you feel and how do you deal with it when you're just done with protecting them? You're done with seeing them self-destroy themselves, rather. What do you do?
I would honestly, I think a really good technique or a really good thing to do would gather a whole bunch of friends that they know, that that I know. Or
the intervention.
Yes! How did you know? Yeah, an intervention. I think that's the most useful way in, you know, trying to stop the person from doing harm to their body.
Absolutely.
Right.
And
right.
And I would say, Josh, that's, you know, that's perfect, you know. And when you get a group of people, let's say, you know, there's this one individual, the friend that you were talking about, Doc, and you choose to take it upon yourself, you know, to really help this person, and because you care about them, you obviously really want to get them out of this hole that they have dug themselves in. So what are you going to do? Get, like Josh said, get a bunch of people that care about them the most, right?
Right.
You know, maybe the parents, the best friends, blah, blah, blah. But here we go. This is my belief. This is what I've always thought about interventions and, you know, about helping people get off the shit. You know what I mean? What I'm saying is when you sit them down with the people that they care about the most and that care about them the most, right? I feel like that's when the moment of truth comes out, right?
Right.
When this person is confronted by the people that have always loved and supported them, right? And these people, all of these people share a common ground of helping this person. They're all like, listen, man, like, you're fucking up. We love you. Like, look at what you're doing to yourself. Look at what you're doing to your family. Right. Now, if this person, this is what I'm going to say. This is what I mean when I say, you know, this is really the moment of truth. When this person sees all these people that truly, truly care about them, that's when they have to make the conscious choice. That's when every other person in that person's life does not have an effect, right? This is the moment of truth where this person then gets in their head and they have to choose for themselves, do I choose the drug or do I listen to what these people are saying, and do I choose my family, do I choose my friends? Because at that point nobody else can do anything.
That's true.
You have successfully led the horse to water. Now it's up to them whether they drink it or not. You know, and like I've said before, Doc, there's only so much that one person can do to try to change another person's mind, right?
So what do you do as loving friends to someone who chooses to say, you're all against me, I don't care what you think, you don't understand, I need this drug or I need whatever.
What can you do?
You're all against me. I'm angry at you. You can all go to hell. What do you do?
You might have to let them go.
You let them isolate and just destroy themselves? What do you do as young adults towards this friend?
I mean, there's only so much you can do, Doc. It's not like you can, you know, put a bag over their head, handcuff them, and drive them to a fucking, you know, sober living home. You know,
it's their life.
It's their life. If you put as much energy as you possibly can into helping this person, and if multiple people in with all different kinds of relationships with this person, right, show that they care and show that they are trying to help this person, if that person just throws it back in their face, literally there's nothing else that you can do. You know, only time will tell. Only time will tell. And obviously that doesn't mean that if the person says, fuck you, I'll go to hell, you're all against me. Obviously that doesn't mean, you know, to throw a middle finger back in their face and be like, well, fuck you.
Well,
you know,
sure,
what that means is you got to be like, okay, fuck it. Like, we've tried so hard to help this person. We've done everything we possibly can to show this person we love them, we care about them, we appreciate them, we respect them, but they need help. We've done everything,
right.
And they're throwing it back in our face. What I would say to do, honestly, okay. Doc, is keep a lookout for them. Keep a watch, just keep letting that person know that they're really hurting the people around them, right?
Yes.
They already know because they've already had an intervention, right? Let that person know that they're really, really hurting the people around them.
Mm-hmm.
And you can only go from there. They can only make their choice from there, you know? So.
Right. I'm just fascinated what you would do as, you know, as a friend. I know what I do, and I have to do legally as a psychologist.
What is that?
Well, if they're chronic drug abusers or chronic alcoholics, and they have no judgment, and they put themselves in harm, then it's called self-harm. And so you have to keep them safe and have them taken to a hospital.
Right.
You know, if it's on and on and on. And then, you know, when they're released, then you see what the behavior is. You take them to treatment centers, get, you know, psychologists, psychiatrists involved, so the proper medications to, you know, help them be less depressed about their lives, et cetera. So I think what you need to do, actually, is probably try and have a support system of doctors, of friends.
Absolutely.
You get the family around. You get everyone who can support people to really help them get better. And if they're constantly refusing, what we have to do as professionals is continue to give them the medical help they need and not give up. I was just curious as to what you do as friends,
with
a peer group, because it's very difficult. It gets dicey because then they think you're their enemy, then they turn other people against you, and you're the bad guy.
Right.
It's just fascinating to me how young adults handle their friends.
Absolutely.
You know,
Doc, we actually have another caller on the air right now.
Go for it, guys. Thank you so much for a great show.
Wise words from a lovely, lovely doctor.
Thanks, Doc.
Oh, thank you so much, Josh. Have a great day, guys.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
All right.
How you doing? You are live on the Vibration Station. Who are we talking to?
Ella.
Hey, Ella.
I'm a marriage and family therapist.
How are you doing today, Ella? I'm so happy that you called in to the Vibration Station.
Thank you. I just wanted to make a comment regarding the teenagers who are using, who are addicts or who are using drugs.
Right.
I believe that there is a lot of pressure on young adults right now, and there is a lot of stress.
There absolutely is.
And the question to you is, how do you kids, without using drugs or smoking pot, release that stress? What do you do to make yourself feel safe and comfortable in the age when everything is moving so fast?
Right. Now, this kind of relates to our topic we had 2 weeks ago about creating something, either, you know, building something, writing music, playing an instrument, you know, even as simple as taking a walk on the beach.
Exactly.
You know, that relieves so much stress by creating something new.
Exactly.
Create something out of that stress.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Ella, something that that we always talk about on the Vibration Station is following your highest excitement. On the Vibration Station, we believe that excitement is a full self-supporting kit. And what I mean by that is when you get genuinely excited about something, and when I'm talking about getting excited about something, I'm not talking about, I'm excited to go to the party, or I'm excited to, you know, get high, or I'm excited to go to the club. I'm not talking about that kind of excitement. I'm talking about true, genuine, divine excitement that rushes through your body. When you feel that feeling of like, I can't wait, for example, the musician, right?
What do you do with the children, with the young adults that use drugs and they're not motivated, they don't have any interest? How do you evoke that in them?
Right. Well, I would say, first off, you show them opportunity. You lead them, you open a door for them. You lead them in a path, possibly just open a door for them that could allow them a new perception. Everything.
Well, perhaps you can share your personal experience, guys, like
Absolutely.
Josh and you. What did you do to make your life interesting, to release stress in your life? Is there anything that you do as an example for your listeners to reduce that stress and to make your life creative?
I found hobbies. I picked up a guitar. I just started strumming. I got into it. I picked up a trombone. I started playing random notes. I got into it.
Right.
I picked up a video camera, a $200 video, a little tiny video camera. I started getting into it. Then
right.
I started, you know, thinking about this new stuff
right.
that I picked up and started getting into, and I left the old stuff behind.
Exactly.
So trying to experience with different things, like different hobbies, you know, running, hiking, river rafting, something new, skydiving even.
Yeah, something,
you know?
Exactly, Josh. I love that, man. It's something new, something different. Also, I feel like part of the reason, Ella, why kids and young adults get so sucked into, you know, smoking weed or, you know, drinking and just these self-destructive behaviors is because they're bored. And along with being bored, they get into the same pattern. It's the same ba-bum, ba-bum, ba-bum. It's the same pattern over and over and over again. Like, oh, it's Friday, time to smoke weed. Oh, it's Saturday, time to, you know, drink. I think that if an opportunity of change is presented to them, for example, you know, a friend calls him up and says, hey, guys, do you want to, you know, instead of sitting around this Friday in the backyard and getting high, do you guys want to, like, go out and, you know, do you guys want to go dirt bike riding or do you guys want to go camping in Ojai for the weekend? You know, just something like something fun, something
adventurous, something
exactly.
that. Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, something that from my personal experience, when I was in high school, I was good. I was good for the most part. My thing was pot. I liked to smoke weed, every now and then in high school. And, my parents found out and obviously they were very displeased with me. So what my parents inspired me to do, they said, David, you need to find a hobby. You need to find a passion. Because really what I was doing is, you know, on the weekends, I would just meet up with my friends and we would hang out, go somewhere and get high, you know, and that was a fun weekend for us, you know. But then my parents were like, Dave, honestly, man, you got to start doing something else with your life. You got to get out there. You got to start, you know, being productive, be like a member of society.
What did you do?
I've always had a passion for music. I decided to pick up a brand new instrument. It was the ukulele that I decided. I was thinking to myself, well, I know how to play the guitar. That's fun. But I want to do something new. So then I picked up the ukulele. I got my friends that I was, that we were, you know, I was in the group with. I got them to start playing instruments with me. And then we'd start having jam sessions. And honestly, it went from smoking pot to playing music. And then soon enough, the pot, it started to just go away. We didn't even think about it. It was just like, oh, let's get some people over. Let's like play some music. And then we started recording.
So let me get it clear. The
yeah.
friends that you used to smoke pot with, you motivated them to replace that with playing music. Is this correct?
Yes. Yes.
That's beautiful. So you managed to do that to the whole number of friends of yours, of your peers, and that's beautiful.
Well,
I like to hear that. I like to hear more stories like that.
Well, thanks, Ella. That's very nice of you to say. And I think the main reason why it had such an effect on my friends is because, first of all, I saw myself and I saw where I was going, you know, and when you look in the mirror and you start to see a difference within your soul, you look in your eyes, you see like a little, something's different about you. There's a different look in your eye. It's intimidating and it's scary. And that's when I really, you know, talked to my friends and I was like, guys, I need to stop smoking weed. Like, I have no motivation to do anything. And like, this sucks. Like, I was like, honestly, guys, I got an ukulele. Like, my buddy Kevin, who was, you know, in the group, he played bass. And our other friend, you know, Colin, I was like, hey, man, like, why don't you pick up the keyboard? I gave him like a keyboard to mess around with. And soon enough, we had a little band going and
yeah.
we were just playing music. And
it's a great feeling.
You know, of course, you know, they would, you know, bring pot over every now and then. But I would be like, I'm sorry, guys, I like can't do this. I like, I just don't want to do this. And if you guys are going to just smoke weed and play music, then I'm going to find other people to play music with. And then they stopped. They just stopped smoking weed. They're like, you know, dude, you're right. I have no motivation, and let's just jam, you know? And it was a good time. It was a really good time.
Great. That's great.
But,
good. I'm glad to hear that. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Ella.
Thank you so much, Ella, for calling in. You are greatly, unconditionally loved and appreciated by the Vibration Station.
Thank you very much.
You have a wonderful day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Wow, we had some interesting callers today.
Absolutely. It's always a pleasure when we get calls on the air, especially from such wonderful, wonderful individuals. That was really nice of Ella to call in.
Really nice, yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, Josh, I actually wanted to ask you,
Yeah, sure.
Which touches on the whole, you know, your body is a temple and, you know, making the right choices for your mind, body, and soul. Hypnotherapy.
Oh, okay.
Right? I am familiar that with the last 5 minutes of the show, I wanted to kick off a little bit on hypnotherapy. I understand that if you're having a little bit of a hard time finding the motivation, finding that spark within you to really resonate with your body being a temple and to really resonate with the idea of health and goodness and love for your body, hypnotherapy is an amazing way to kick it off. Josh, do you want to tell us a little bit?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
thank
please.
You, David. So I was having a little bit of problems talking to girls.
Okay.
And I had this huge anxiety, David.
Okay.
Huge anxiety. And I wanted to try something new.
Right.
And this new thing was hypnotherapy.
Okay.
So I hired a hypnotherapist. They took me to their office. They put me in this cool reclining chair.
Nice.
It was really comfortable. Now, the first rule in hypnotherapy, you have to be comfortable.
Okay.
You have to be comfortable.
Okay.
So your whole body has to be relaxed.
Right.
Okay.
Usa.
Your heartbeat, normal. Okay.
Boom, boom.
Boom, boom.
Boom, boom.
And what the therapist does, she or he, they slowly put you to sleep with their words. They say, close your eyes. Okay, they make you imagine things. They make you imagine like you're in a fluffy cloud.
I feel like I'm in a hypnotherapy session right now.
Exactly.
It's so low. It's so nice.
So as they start talking, they start talking, and your eyelids begin getting heavier and heavier and heavier. You close your eyes. At this point, you are entering your deep consciousness.
Okay. Oh.
Okay.
Entering deep consciousness.
Deep consciousness.
Nice.
So
that's a very sacred place of the human brain. It is.
The therapist that actually put me under hypnosis.
Yes.
Told me to imagine a stairway.
Okay.
A spiral stairway.
Okay.
And I would go down each step, and each step she told me that my eyelids were getting heavier and heavier, nice. And eventually I fell asleep.
Wow.
And when you fall asleep, you're obviously you're in your subconscious.
Right.
So she just started talking, and it just entered my subconscious, and it was amazing.
Right.
The experience was amazing, and she started talking about how I can get rid of this anxiety when I talk to girls.
Okay.
And after a few sessions, I felt like my eyes just like wide open.
Right.
I have no anxiety.
Right. Right.
It was
amazing.
Unbelievable.
That's absolutely
no
amazing.
No pills, no nothing. No anxiety pills, no nothing.
Right.
I did it naturally.
Wow.
And I loved it. And when you wake up from these sessions, you feel so refreshed.
Oh, of course. Of course, man. I could only imagine. Josh, who was it that gave you the hypnotherapy? Would you like to...
You know, funny story. Ella. I was on the phone.
Oh, that's amazing.
She was my therapist.
That's amazing.
She was my hypnotherapist.
That's
amazing. She did an amazing, amazing job. She's actually also a Reiki master.
No way.
And for those of you who don't know what Reiki is, it's a form of healing.
You definitely have to check it out. Reiki is amazing, amazing, amazing thing is Reiki healing. Where could people get in contact with Ella if they wanted to get a hypnotherapy session?
Sure. She has a website and a phone number. I'll give you her phone number right now. It's 818-207-1191.
Wonderful.
818-207-1191. Her website is School of Soul. schoolofsoul.org.
Schoolofsoul.org.
Schoolofsoul.org. So you can check her out. She has a whole bunch of cool stuff on her website. Give her a call.
That's amazing.
She'll set you up with a nice session, and she does a great job.
Oh, yeah. You could also tell, you know, just by talking to her on the phone, she's a very, very zen woman.
Yes.
Yeah, that's very cool. Definitely, if you guys are looking for hypnotherapy, you know exactly where to go. Guys, I want to thank you for such an amazing...
This was awesome. I had so much fun today.
An amazing episode of Dave's Good Vibration Station. This is LATalkRadio.com, the world's most listened to internet talk radio station. Once again, we send you unconditional love, light, happiness, joy, laughter, and everything in between.
Nice.
Have a blessed Sunday, and we will see you in space.
Thank
bye-bye.
You guys so much. Bye-bye.
Haunting insecurities displayed by my linguistics, please. Allow me instruction, inspired by this divine introduction. DAVIECROCKET. Let's be the shit in all that we wanna see. We pump the same blood as these kings and queens. We built empires with wood from trees. We say eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Catch an MC on his toe with the hollers, let him flow. Pray to God he doesn't choke. Fuck it, man. Let's smoke, just another deep motivator, an excuse to puff, puff, pass, go back to class, rhythm won't get you anywhere in life like that.